Today's model of success will be presented in Romanian and English, with subtitles in Arabic, Aulasis Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Portuguese, Romanian, Russian, and Spanish. Dragi telespectatori, bine ați venit la episodul săptămânal de azi, Modele ale succesului, care îl prezintă pe Constantin Brâncuș, un sculptor extraordinar din România. Constantin Brâncuș, recunoscut în lume simplu ca Brâncuș, s-a născut în 1876 în regiunea frumoasă a Olteniei, din România. Familia sa țărănească era dintr-un sat mic numit Hobița, situat aproape de munții Carpați, o regiune cunoscută pentru bogăția în tradiția sculpturii în lemn și alte meșteșuguri. În ciuda poziției sociale a familiei sale, Brâncuș a reușit să ajungă în capitala regiunii, Craiova, și să intre la Școala de Arte și Meșteșuguri din Craiova. Noi am discutat cu doamna dr. Sanda Miller, lector în media și arte vizuale la Universitatea Solent Southampton din Marea Britanie și autoarea cărții Constantin Brâncuș, A Survey of His Work, care o să ne spună mai multe despre viața și munca acestui artist renumit.
And this Craiova School of Arts and Crafts was in fact one of the first in Europe at that time where they actually learn, you know, practical skills like carpentry, which is how Brancusi actually started his career. He learned to make furniture.
Mai târziu, Brâncuș a urmat Institutul de Arte Plastice din București și a studiat sculptura tradițională. În 1903, el s-a dus mai întâi la München, în Germania, și apoi a călătorit la Paris, în Franța, în 1904.
When he hit Paris in 1904, he was already 30 years of age. And he started to train at the Académie des Beaux-Arts in the atelier of a very well-known sculptor called Mercier. But because he was considered quite old by then, he had to stop. So very quickly he stopped this training and then he actually set up as a sculptor in Paris. And it was very, very difficult for him. He had no money, he was not known. In 1907, he turned his style around with a work called The Prayer. And I've argued in my first book that, in fact, his influence, unlike that of his contemporaries such as Picasso, who were looking towards African and Oceanic art and ethnographic art.
Rugăciunea a fost comandată din România și face parte dintr-un monument funerar. Tehnica unică de sculptura lui Brâncuș și înfățișarea abstractă, fără trăsături reale, a unei tinere îngenunchiate, cu o mână încrucișată, arată începuturile unui stil revoluționar pentru care este recunoscut.
This beautiful sculpture called The Prayer changed the course of European sculpture. And I think it's only much later with people like Henry Moore that, you know, this credit is actually being given him. Mostly when you carve, you would actually use some models from which you carve. And a new technique, which is in fact a technique that was used by African carvers, was cutting directly in stone without having any preparatory drawings and things. So Brancusi starts this new technique, cutting directly in stone. And that was a huge revolution. And that starts around about 1907. And this really changed the course of modernist sculpture and painting as well.
Stilul inovator al lui Brâncuș a fost inspirat foarte mult de ideile filozofice ale lui Platon și la fel și de concepțiile contemporanului său, pictorul pionier francez, post-impresionistul Paul Cézanne.
He was influenced by Platonic ideas of essences, what he calls the ideal forms, which in ordinary language would be called perhaps concept, general concepts or universals, so that, you know, the idea of suppleness, the idea of courage, you know, they are kind of general concepts or essences. So when he moved from the Maestra to the bird in space, you know, he said, I want to capture in this the essence of flight. So moving from this bird or that to the essence, what flight is all about. So this kind of fusiform shape that he creates tries to capture the movement of a bird in flight. And then you see that the same, he does that with the fish. Now, Paul Cézanne himself somehow revolutionized painting with his idea of concentrating the vision in terms of what he called the sphere, the cylinder, the triangle, the pyramid. So instead of looking at apples, looking at the appleness issue, the essence of what an apple is, which is a sphere. That's very important for Brancusi later. And Brancusi more or less lifts that new vision into this particular sculpture, a bronze, which is in the National Museum of Bucharest, called The Prayer. Moreover, he removes one of the hands, and when later he tells his friend, and he said, I didn't put a woman in a cemetery, I made a prayer. The idea of moving from a woman to the essence of what a prayer was.
Constantin Brâncuși a continuat să sculpteze și să cioplească. El și-a dezvoltat în continuare stilul, simplificând formele în obiecte geometrice. În acest proces, el a făcut numeroase versiuni ale capodoperelor sale, cum ar fi Muza adormită.
What he does, you see the shape of the block of stone and he just cuts gently on the surface. And then the third important turning point, he moves completely away from this rather rough kind of approach to creating those beautiful motifs, you know, the muse, the sleeping muse, Mademoiselle Pogani, the birds, okay? And here you see this process that made him famous of reduction or simplification. He starts with quite a simplified version of Mademoiselle Pogani's head, which is peculiar but still recognizable, eyes, nose, hands. That's version number one in 1913. In 1919, version number two, Pogani two, details start to disappear. Eyes are not there anymore. The hands are actually joined into one. By 1933, when he made the third version, it's practically gone. So you end up with something that vaguely resembles a human head, but you have to look very hard.
Munca lui Brâncuși a fost modelată de diferite culturi pe care el a observat în călătoriile sale lungi. El a fost inspirat de mulți alți artiști și intelectuali renumiți din Paris, cu care s-a împrietenit, cum ar fi pictorul spaniol Pablo Picasso, poetul și criticul american Ezra Pound, pictorul post-impresionist francez Henri Rousseau, compozitorul român George Enescu și mulți alții.
He was very good at absorbing everything that was happening around him, mingling it and turning it into recognizable Brâncuses. It was my personal contribution that at the point when he was making a work such as The Wisdom of the Earth in 1909, he was looking at Egyptian sculpture in the Louvre. At that point, he made friends with a young painter called Amedeo Modigliani, and it was Brâncusi who got him sculpting. Modigliani was in love with Egyptians. Then he comes to a more classicizing period. After this direct carving period, around about 1907 through to 1909, when he carves directly in stone. In 1909-10, he starts to create his perfect eggs, beautiful metaphysical eggs. There are the portraits, like the famous Pogani or the bird in space. They're highly polished, perfect.
În 1910, el a întâlnit alt artist francez faimos, Marcel Duchamp, care o să devină prietenul lui bun și partener de artă. Marcel Duchamp a avut și o mare influență asupra unora din capodoperele lui Brâncuș.
Around about 1914, he for the first time returns to a technique which is actually working in wood. At that point, he does perhaps return a little bit to his Romanian heritage. At the same time, he becomes a very good friend of Marcel Duchamp. So when he had his two New York exhibitions in 1926 and 33, they're both curated actually by Duchamp. And Brancusi embarks on a very peculiar sort of practice, which I argue was directly under the influence of Duchamp. Firstly, he no longer buys any ready artifacts, so he actually creates an environment, which was his studio. I mean, that's, to my mind, his greatest work of art, his actual studio. Everything in the studio is made by hand, by him. Chairs and tables and everything. And he uses those pieces of wood sometimes as chairs, sometimes as bases for sculpture. Sometimes they become sculptures. And he rotates them so that their categorical status starts to change. They become a base and then a sculpture and then a chair again and maybe something else. And that playfulness, I argue, comes directly from Duchamp.
Reputația lui Brâncuș s-a extins odată cu ideile sale noi și creațiile sale frumoase și până în 1917 numele lui a călătorit până în Statele Unite. Opera lui Brâncuș a inspirat nu numai publicul, ci și pe ceilalți artiști.
From about 1917 onwards, he gets to be pretty well known and loved in New York and starts to sell quite well. I suppose after his death in 1957, he gets to be known via his followers, people who have met him, Henry Moore, Barbara Hepworth and Ben Nicholson, and then the whole of the minimalist movement, Carl André. The Japanese sculpture is profoundly influenced by Brancusi. He was very influential on, to my surprise actually, on the minimalist movement. And Carl André, when he created that very famous work, which is I think called Lever, which was shown in the Jewish Museum in New York in 1965, which was just a kind of very long line, actually was made of bricks. So just a horizontal line that crossed the whole of the gallery. And he said, well, you know, I put on the floor Brancusi's infinite column. Brancusi's infinite column goes up, mine is on the floor. The whole idea, which is very important in Brancusi's one and only public monument, which is this column of the infinite. It's in fact a trilogy in Turgujiu. The whole idea that this column was modular, based on a module which was repeated 33 times. And the whole of minimalist sculpture is based on a module, a repeatable module. So, you know, you have a shape which is then endlessly repeated. So they always claim, you know, people like Sol de Witt or Dan Flavin, and certainly Carl André, that this modular approach to sculpture comes, in fact, from Brancusi's specifically column of the infinite.
Deși Constantin Brâncuș a avut mulți prieteni talentați și exemple care i-au provocat creativitatea lui excepțională, poate că cea mai adâncă și cea mai importantă sursă a inspirației a fost credința lui în Dumnezeu.
he was a very religious man, and you know, God played an important part in his life, his search for divinity. That might have come into it as well. What is also interesting is he was particularly influenced by Tibetan thinking, and one of the books that he loved was The Life of Milarepa, which he had, was translated into French, I think, by Evans Weiss, I think his name was, in 1929. And from then on, it became a sort of book that he always had by his bedside table and always referencing Milarepa. I would say the metaphysical was a profound aspect of his sculpture.
În ciuda realizărilor sale extraordinare, Brâncu și-a păstrat o rezervă și nu a vorbit deloc despre el sau munca lui. Cele câteva cuvinte pe care le-a lăsat au fost pline de înțelepciune.
He never talked about his work, very, very little, so in a way that remains mysterious. But he left us a handful of aphorisms, sayings, like, and this is one very famous one, which is pretty well known. I give you pure joy, look at my sculptures until you see them. Those closest to God have seen them. Being close to God is to leave behind the contingent, is to tackle the principle, the essence of things, is to steer one's eye towards the absolute.
Dr. Sander Miller's Constantin Brincuș, a survey of his work, Clarendon Studies in the History of Art, may be purchased at www.amazon.com.
Prin a împărtăși lumii talentele sale artistice fascinante, Brâncuș ne-a adus aminte la toți de valoarea simplității în viață. Cele mai sincere mulțumiri, doamnei dr. Sanda Miller, pentru că ne-ați împărtășit opiniile dumneavoastră pline de valoare despre talentatul sculptor român, Brâncuș. Să fiți binecuvântată cu multă sănătate și succes ca să continuați să împărtășiți publicului despre comorile artei. Stimați telespectatori binevoitori, vă mulțumim pentru compania azi la Modele ale Succesului. Rămâneți cu noi pe Suprimaste Television pentru Vegetarianismul, felul nobil de a trăi, care va urma după știrile care contează. Fie ca raiul să ne îndrume pe toți pe calea bunătății și iubirii. Benevolent viewers, thank you for joining us today for Models of Success. Please stay tuned to Suprimaste Television for Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, coming up next after the noteworthy news. May heaven guide all of us on the path of goodness and love.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/MOS.